Hello and welcome to Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast. Stars me, Primaranner.
Primarina. Oh, really? You've come full circle. Now you're going to embody Primarina after hating on it the whole season.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could pull it off.
No.
I don't think I have that kind of grace.
Some grace.
A.K.A. Tanner Greenring, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, Alolan Raichosh.
Thank you,
Alolan Raichu. I'm honored by this moniker.
Both, for me at least, not for you, I suppose, prominent members of the former champion of the Alolan region. Or, it's sort of confusing.
No, he's wasn't...
Because we're the first champion.
It was just like some weird final test.
It was just like, yeah, it turns out it's actually the Elite Five. So like, now you have to face Howie.
Yeah. We had to crush Howie one final time. I was surprised that we never saw the Masked Royal again. How was that not the final battle?
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like, Kukui's here.
Did I say AKA Joshua Fjellsted?
I don't know.
AKA Joshua Fjellsted. We're playing through Pokemon Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. We are at the end. We've beaten it now. This is the last episode of the
last episode.
Regular season.
Yes.
And now we go into overtime, which we call chasing waterfalls. But
will we be
we're here
actually
now, Joshua.
On some waterfalls? I can't. There's got to be waterfalls. It's fucking Alola. It's Hawaii.
We picked up. I think we picked up TMs or maybe. I don't think there are HMs in this game, are there?
No.
But I think we did pick up TMs for Waterfall and Dive at some point.
But wouldn't it? No, we would have a Red Pager Pokemon who could do Waterfalls.
We
might not
Pager.
Have any Waterfalls this season, which is problematic for that title.
I'm surprised they didn't figure
and
out
also,
some way to jam them in.
How could Sharpedo not get up a Waterfall? Maybe that's the unlock. I don't remember. There's no way that I ever did. I don't remember what the post game was when I played Sun years ago, and I also think that I just never did it, if there is one. But we've got a big one.
Well, we'll get to it because there's a robust credit sequence where we sort of see the continuing adventures of all the characters. Because we did take on the Elite Four this week and we did beat the game.
In Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Although if you're tuning Ultra in Sun, now, I don't know how to help you. If you haven't
go
been
back. I would
the
start at the
season.
Beginning. This is a wild place to jump in. But you're welcome to. Stick around if you want. Josh, I think let's get some housekeeping out of the way before we talk about the leg this week. It was a pretty short leg.
Yeah.
Because it was just like climb up
I mean,
this
it
mountain
was grinding.
Fight these idiots.
It was a lot of fighting,
yeah.
But it was not substantial in terms of footprint.
That reminds me. Remind me to tell you about an idea I had for a character for next season. Okay. Something you said about footprints.
Oh, no. Dr. Footprint. Become Dr. Footprint.
Some housekeeping, Joshua. Footstep. I just wanted to quickly say you should be ashamed of yourself. And
I never am.
I'm pretty upset with the way you've been harassing the volunteers at Bulbapedia.
Jimmy
and
Waylord's volunteers.
I agree with bug catcher Jedrax,
oh,
who
Mystic
DM'd
Jedrax.
Us this week.
Mm-hmm.
To remind us that Bulbapedia is all hardworking volunteers and don't need you shitting on them, Josh.
First of all,
I agree.
If anyone is shitting on them, it's definitely both of us and probably more you than me. And I think you're flinging the shit at me
right.
To try to cover up your tracks, Dr. Footstep.
That doesn't sound right.
We're cap in hand.
Jedrax is right.
We were too disrespectful towards Bulbapedia.
Pokemon Company and Game Freak like used mass media to focus our ire on our fellow man.
Yes, and fellow mon.
Pokemon enthusiasts, mm-hmm. Just like keeping the fandom going, you know?
And
really, we should turn our anger towards the Pokemon Company and Game Freak.
Absolutely, for releasing only crumbs of information, which is the explanation for why all of the trivia is always maybe this or probably that, because they don't just say. So there can't be a definitive source in the same way that Wikipedia functions. And so that's on Game Freak and Pokemon Company. And I'll also say, we...
Yeah, and for making the game so perverted.
Only started razzing Bulbapedia because we were upset that we didn't have it as a source for our walkthrough.
That's true. Yeah, we miss it.
And
I think
to be fair, I guess we could make the walkthrough, but you know, we got enough on our hands. But anyway, that was where the ire came from, is that we were upset that we had to downgrade our sources. I will say,
yeah.
I think in general, I mean, certainly we we wouldn't have been able to make this podcast without Bulbapedia. So sorry,
yeah, certainly about not. All the other ones are like impossible to use
and ugly.
I mean, no offense to like Serbii and
okay, Serbii actually looks pretty good, but
Smogon and yeah. The IGN one that it always takes you to, it
the
is
IGN
so unhelpful.
One is so rough. It's always just like
anyway,
one
let's
sentence,
talk about,
no context, so many ads.
It starts with the Japanese name of the Pokemon. It's like, why are you like this? Just like,
I already don't know how to say the English name.
Why can't we all just be Bulbapedia? So we owe you everything, Bulbapedia, and we owe you everything, everyone who makes Bulbapedia run. And let's refocus our efforts on taking down these sick perverts over at the Pokemon Company. Who keep releasing
this back to basics, yeah.
Joshua, we ended last week with sort of a toss in the mud, not a euphemism. We were on Executor Island, which is pretty muddy.
You're right. And the Mudsdale was there, Hapu's. There's
Mudsdale
a lot
was
of
there.
Mud.
Yeah. It was Hapu's
slopping
grand
around
trial.
In the mud.
Newly minted grand trial. Like, we're blazing new trails here. We're sort of in uncharted territory, and it feels like it, I'll say. Remember in like 2016 when I think like Russia was hosting the Olympics or something?
Yeah, it's a rough year.
And like everyone kind of went and like everything was sort of like half done and sort of like
Sochi.
Pretty lackluster.
Yeah.
That's what Kukui's Pokemon League is a little like.
Absolutely.
You kind of show up and Kukui's just like, oh God, you're here so much earlier than I thought you would be.
There's no
pomp and
circumstance. It's just a regular Pokemon Center.
Just a big platform.
The walk.
But we'll get to that. We'll get
to
that. Because first.
Cool.
Yeah, we're starting at the bottom of the hill. We got to climb that mountain.
Mount Lanakila.
And it's called Mount Lanakila.
Lanakila.
That is fun to say.
Yeah.
We don't make it very far into the compound. There's like a mining elevator that goes up the side of Mount Lanakila.
Yeah. And it's sacred ground, which is, you know, I don't know that I would have steered into that. I would have probably just not done that. They have like,
you didn't like the spiritualism stuff?
Defenders. Well, they're like carving up a sacred ground to like put the Champion League there, Pokemon League. And Kukui's defense is like, well, it's honoring the ancestors. But like, I don't know. Like, can you ask them? What do the Tapus think about this?
Yeah, well, I'll let you know because I think one thing that we will be allowed to do next week when we're chasing waterfalls is hunt down these Tapus.
Oh, yeah.
And make them ours. And if it's any indication, it'll be pretty like pretty easy because one of the things Kukui sort of did was make little nesting areas for all the legendary Pokemon that you've encountered so far in the game where you can catch them.
Did he? I didn't even realize that. He made nature
yeah,
preserves?
Well, You bump into him. You bump into Necrozma's just like sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, hey, Necrozma. And you catch him. And then at some point you run into Lily, who's like, Lunala wants to be on your team. Here's your opportunity to catch it.
And Nebby, too. Cosmog.
That's what I meant.
Or Solgaleo. Yeah, whatever it is at the time.
It grows into Lunala.
Yeah, yeah. Solgaleo.
But this brings me, it's sort of, it's an active route. And they do park a few Pokemon here to give you a chance to catch them.
Yeah, it is effectively, and I believe a construction worker who are still there because it's not quite done refers to it as Victory Road. Although on the map it is Mount Lanakila.
There's a few Pokemon, including Necrozma and Lunala slash Solgaleo, who I want to talk about in a lightning round of, is it a bad guy?
Okay, hit me.
This route is just like bad guy after bad guy, and let's go through them. Number one, Sneasel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think so, right? It's the face, it's the mean eyes, and the little snaggle
tooth. It's very mischievous. It's got the big claws. Yeah.
Bing, 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 correct. Number two, Glalie.
Yeah.
Yeah, awful, right?
I mean, it's a big,
I won't run it.
Cunningly evil snowball.
Like orb.
Sentient
yeah.
snowball orb. With a glaring, menacing face. Very evil.
Yeah.
The dark, like,
very evil.
Eyes.
Yep. Yeah. Correct. Bing, bing, bing. Number three, Absol. Dark type.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Now that I know, I have not been looking up the Pokédex entries for the preceding two, but I know Absol because I got into this in last season, I think, where it was actually vindicated because Yeah. Everyone thought that it caused natural disasters, but actually it shows up when a natural disaster is about to arrive and it tries to warn people to get away. So I actually think Absol
wasn't there a little bit of a dispute good. On that? I think there was a little bit of a dispute.
Well, as you
on
go
that.
Through the generations, from what I recall, it starts off very in Gen 2. It's like everybody hates it because it's a bad omen, or maybe it summons natural disasters.
These games aren't necessarily
in order.
But
by the time you get
order.
Here, in fact, I think
that
in
doesn't
this
mean it's
gen,
evolved thinking.
No, it's that people have evolved their understanding of Absol so that by the time we get here,
so Scarlet,
the elderly call it the disaster Pokemon and detest it, the elderly. But interest in its power to predict disasters is on the rise. See, and then Ultra Sun, this is where it turns, because the young people and the researchers have figured it out. The only thing unlucky about Absol is its appearance. It protects fields and warns people of disaster, so one ought to be grateful for it. Absol's good. I'm not going to give you that one. And its Mega Evolution turns into, like, the Pegasus wings. It's like, almost angelic. Remember my winged cat rant? That's where it came from.
We're sure that's the Scarlet Violet one you just read?
No, that was... It was Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
In the narrative timeline, we're sure that Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon comes last?
Well, Sword and Shield, it says, swift as the wind, Absol races through fields and mountains. Its curved bow-like horn is acutely sensitive to the warning signs of natural disasters. That's Sword. And then Shield, because of this Pokemon's ability to detect danger, people mistook Absol as a bringer of doom. Mistook.
Oh, okay.
Shining Pearl and Brilliant Diamond... It senses coming disasters and appears before people.
All right,
only
fine.
To warn
you know
them,
what? I hate the thing.
Warn them of impending danger.
You know
danger.
I hate the thing.
I'm an Absol apologist. Yeah, why are you even, like, you're not going to use it? You're always
no.
shitting on Absol for
don't
seasons
want anything to
at
do
this
with
point.
It.
I like it,
but you're
and
wrong.
It's good.
Bing, bing, bing. It's bad guy. Number four, Necrozma. He's just hanging here.
Bad. Obviously bad guy.
Number five, Nebby.
Good. Chill. Good. I don't know about chill, but good. Good guy.
Good guy, right?
You know, sort of misled, led astray, corrupted at times.
Yeah.
But I don't think, look at its little face. There's no way Nebby is trying to be a bad guy. It just gets corrupted.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's some of the sights and sounds you see on the way up Mount Lanaquila.
Lanaquila.
It starts at the bottom where you're stopped by Gladion, who I guess is like, make up your fucking mind, man.
You good? Like, speaking of bad guy or chill guy, like, what is my relationship to Gladion at this point? Do I like him?
we're friends. What he says is like, hey, thank you for everything you've done. Like, let's have one last battle.
Like, if,
okay, I guess.
If Parrothead is passing around some of that good, that Dr. Goodfeel...
Is he
passing it to Gladion? Are they
no? Because as we'll discuss later in the credit sequence, Gladion's like in the wind. We might not ever see Gladion again, and I'll be curious. Maybe the Bug Catchers will know if he's made a reappearance again. But
I'm sure
we gotta get there, Joshua. Yeah. For now, we have to fight him, and he immediately like brings out Lucario, and I'm like, what a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Thinks I can't stop a Lucario.
That's what you think.
Now I know what it feels like to be Josh Fjellstad.
Yeah.
Because this Lucario was, like, perplexing me. I just couldn't figure out why it wasn't, like, taking big hits.
Yeah.
Until its fucking disguise dropped and its goddamn Zoroark.
I hate Zoroark. Don't you? You get it now. It's so... Nothing is more frustrating than fighting that.
Oh, it was so irritating. That it ended up being a Zoroark, and that's why my fucking hits weren't hitting that hard.
And then the actual Lucario was pretty tough. Like, the toughest, those were the two toughest on that team.
Yeah, well, we should also note that Null Type Zero, Gladion's, like, weird battle Pokemon that the Aether Foundation developed to fight Ultra Beasts.
Yeah, I think that was it.
And it is an Ultra Beast? I don't remember. But it's shed its helmet, and it now has a new name. And it's called Silvally. And it's my... You make me barf Pokemon of the week.
It's also mine. I was going to make it Joshy's. You make me barf Pokemon of the week if you didn't. But we're aligned.
Yeah. We got different versions. I got the blue version.
Oh, we
and I suppose you would have gotten the red version.
Who cares? I can't even be bothered to go look at
it doesn't
the
matter.
Difference.
It doesn't matter because they're all ugly.
It's like this grotesque chimera.
What's under the helmet? What's under the helmet? Oh, that's what everyone's saying. Ooh, Null Type Zero. What an interesting Pokemon. I wonder what's under the helmet. It could be anything. And it's like, here's what's under the helmet. Exactly the same thing that, like, was over the helmet. It's exactly what you would expect is under a helmet shaped like that. It's a head shaped like that.
Yeah, it's slightly less ugly, but the floor was so low, it's still extremely ugly.
It's a head that looked like that helmet, except it's less cool because it's not a helmet. It's just this dumb thing's head.
And it's kind of like a Transformer.
And it's got a Vaporeon butt.
Yeah. It's just a waste. It's like, I don't respect it, you know? Like,
I just got no time for it.
Well, what's the point of this entire subplot with the Knoll and the Silvally? Like, if you were designing a Pokemon from the ground up, first of all, you know, we've seen Mewtwo. Now, that's a hell of a job. This is just, like, throwing darts at a board of, like, random Pokemon parts that don't make any sense together. And it's no good.
Here's a cool thing it does. It's got RKS. So you attach a memory to it, and then it changes to grass, fire, or water, depending on what memory you give it to it, which I think is...
there we go. Okay. That's cool.
Or something. I don't know.
Multi-attack was also cool. It's signature move. I'll give it that.
But it's just such a disappointment that that's what they decided to do with it. And also, did we see it lose its helmet? Was I just not paying attention?
No. I don't think we get to see that. Which is also upsetting.
It's just like fucking Masked Avenger or whatever his name is.
Master Royal, yeah.
The Masked Royal.
It's why, just why'd like you set this up?
They just completely like let go of.
Why'd you set this up at all?
Show us the thing coming off its head. Give us some character growth, you know?
I will say I'm looking at the Bulbapedia in the manga Silvally.
Sorry, you're honoring the Bulbapedia.
I'm honoring the Bulbapedia. In the manga and Pokemon Adventures, it looks kind of slick. When it's the illustrative style in the manga makes it look kind of glorious.
I don't like the big thing on its head. Does the manga deal with that?
The head just looks a lot better. It's still got the gross Vaporeon tail. But that's neither here nor there. I'll say Gladion and what's her face? Still can't remember. Lily also look a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Anything else on the way up, Lanaquila?
No, not really. I mean, we didn't see any fresh meat. We've seen all these Mon before, so I didn't have anyone new to honor.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll, you know, there's like Vikavolt and Persian. It's like, I don't know what to do with these two anymore.
I remember there were a couple of pretty decent fights, but the sparring partners.
Yeah, there's these four karate guys on either side of the trail, and you have to fight them in back-to-back, two-person, two-on-one battles.
Yeah, they got all fighting types. That part was fun. I liked Lanaquila in general.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I don't really like snowy environments. That's like my least favorite of basically any terrain in a video game.
Apparently, if you play at night, it can be haily.
Yeah, that happened a few times because I was mostly playing at night. Oh, the ones I was also thinking of were Master and Apprentice, Breon and Kamana. The, like, Ace Trainer and the Veteran. And Ace Trainers become Veterans, so that's, like, clever. And they had very, like, again, like, back when I gave a Trainer banger that you and Tony didn't understand to that one Ace Trainer in, like, the second episode. I like the relationship between the Ace Trainer and the Veteran. And they were good.
Ward.
Vikavolt, Fortress, Glalie, Tyranitar, Bisharp. That was a good fight. And they're right before you exit.
Some fun fights in there.
To go to the plateau.
Right, really right before you exit, right as you're about to go into the plateau, Josh. There's that really touching scene. I wanted to hear what you thought of it.
Oh, go on.
Oh, you know the touching scene where you're walking up to the Pokemon League and the game sort of like sends you into a cutscene where, well, in my case, it was Incineroar jumped out of my bag. Oh, sorry, he was in my party, obviously. Giovanni, big part of my team.
Touching. Didn't really have a touching scene.
He's a little weird this week, but we'll get to that during level check. Okay. Yeah, he comes out of the ball and like sort of holds my hand, and there's like a little moment there where it's like, look how far you two have come together. He's been on your team the whole time. You guys must be such close teammates and friends. What a momentous occasion this is for the two of you.
Then
we walked in together.
My
and I was thinking, what was that like with What's your guy called?
Decidueye?
What was
and
his name?
It was named something.
Yeah.
Hoot. Hoot.
Hoot.
Didn't really get a touching scene. Not sure why I wouldn't get one for perhaps Jimmy, my Alolan Raichu, that was formerly a Pikachu that's been with me since like Route 2 or something.
Not your starter, though. Where is your starter now? Do you even know?
It's somewhere on that Pokepelago. Sure, it's having a great time.
It was really touching. I
hundreds
really liked
of miles away from me. Maybe yeah.
They're really good.
Kind of missed that one.
It's been now we're here. Well, it's for real, like lasting relationships. Now we're here. We're about to take on the Elite Four. There's no pomp. There's no circumstance. Kukui's just up here and he's like, you're here. Like, there's four rooms. That one has a guy in it. That one has a guy in it. That one has a guy in it. And that one has a guy in it. There's no like little diorama sets of moving staircases that go up haunted bookshelves.
You don't walk past like a
glorious aggro crags
installation of like things honoring all of the badges or trials that you've been through.
Yeah.
You just walk in.
Yeah, exactly. There's no intricate ropes courses made to look like spider's webs.
Dragon wings and heads that you have to manipulate.
Just walk into this room and fight somebody.
Big, nice oh, and bed it's chambers. Also,
by the way, it's someone you've met before and probably have battled in most cases before. Oh, except one person who you've maybe never fucking met.
I do remember we met her. In fact, we were like,
yeah, but it was
who
optional.
This freak?
Wasn't it optional? Like, it was when Tony was on and he missed it, right?
Yeah, what was that?
It's like she comes out of nowhere to give you something.
You get Flynium Z. She, the golfer who just shows up at the top of that, God, what hill was it? It's like, it's not Brooklyn Hill, but it's
10 Carat Hill.
That's it, yeah. You could miss her entirely and you never find out. I guess she gives a little backstory, but we'll get to that.
We have to go take a break and then when we get back, we're going to talk about the Elite Four.
Okay, fine.
All right, bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Joshua, bug catchers, welcome back. The Elite Four, we're here. I just did them in order, left to right.
Yeah, me too. Clockwise.
So we should just talk about them in order, left to right.
Right.
The first one is Mulane.
Yeah, our old pal Mo, Sophocles' cousin uncle or something.
His dad.
It's his dad?
I don't know, but I like him.
Cousin uncle slash dad.
I sort of am into him now. I think he's cool. He's just like a dad.
Oh, you just like his dad energy.
Like, you walk in, and there's just, like, a dad there, and he's in, like, a dad outfit, and then, like, he's like, oh, welcome to the Elite Four. My name is Mulane. I'm Sophocles' dad. Pleased to meet you. Let's start battling Pokemon. And then he throws his keys at you.
Yeah. That's funny, actually, when you put it that way.
And then you fight his keys. And then he's got all, like, electric and steel, just like Sophocles.
Yeah, I would say... I actually thought I was in trouble when he opened up. They're all level 56, 57, I think, throughout all of these battles.
Yeah.
So lower than we've been dealing with recently in these games. Although around where I was. Klefki, I just always forget it's not ghost, it's fairy and steel.
Oh, yeah. His are all steel type and some other.
And
type.
I had Passimian up front because I was like, oh, he's steel. So, like, that'll help me out. And then Klefki just, like, thunder waved. It's so fast for some reason. Thunder waved.
Yeah.
Then I was dealing with spikes for the whole fucking battle.
You ever thrown your keys at somebody?
No.
Like, impossible to dodge.
Why are you throwing keys at someone? Why have you had that experience?
Ask Mulane. Don't ask me.
So... Klefki was tough. I lost a couple of mon here, but I turned it around. But they are smart. I mean, it's like good combos. Like, this is a good steel team because they're all dual type. Bisharp, Magnezone, Metagross, Alolan Dugtrio.
Yeah, there's no real one-size-fits-all solution to these Pokemon, except Incineroar, who one-hitted everyone on the team.
Oh, Oh, yeah. I guess fire will take care of... Yeah, I mean, I brought in Talonflame after Passimian died.
Yeah.
And then it was basically okay. But I think Talonflame got killed at one point.
And then, like, you end the battle and there's no, like, backdrop or, like, set or scene shifting around to indicate that you've won and, like, giving you a path out. You just walk out of the room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and we didn't even say, like... And they all follow this pattern. The rooms that we were all referencing, like, we were really, you know, into the ones that were in, like, X and Y in particular.
Yeah.
But these are just literally an arena, like a circular arena, and then there's...
It's just a room. This is what I'm telling you.
It's like Final Destination in Super Smash Brothers, where it's just, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Flat.
It's like the architect's room.
Yeah. That very phoned it in. I guess Kakui couldn't get... he couldn't get all the funding that he needed, right?
Yeah.
What are these trainers doing in there when we're not in there? Like, we were the only ones. There wasn't a line to get in. Well, I don't.
And there's only one door. Yeah.
Is it just the big pit?
Isn't the Pokemon Center? I just think you just go back to the. I mean, you can see someone.
That's a long walk. There's a big hill that you have to go up to get to that, or down to get to that Pokemon Center.
Maybe they take, like, a helicopter or something. I don't know. But the next up is actually the one I struggled with the most, which is Olivia. And also, I will say, the barfiest.
Oh, of these trainers? Easily, yeah. Probopass, Armaldo. Armaldo's fine. Cradily, Gigalith, Lycanroc. Ooh.
It's just not a very good-looking team. But
she
was probably
the toughest for me now that I think about it, too, because I don't have a water type.
Nor do I.
Passimian was good against, you know, three of them, but Armaldo and Cradily were tough. My Delmize was not a one-size-fits-all either, because it's, like, was still leveling up at the time, and then, like, Grass could get, or rather, Ghost could take damage from them, like... It was tough.
Yeah,
she was tough.
It was tough. She peeled off a few of my Pokemon, and it was then that after the fight with Olivia, I discovered I only had two max revives on me and no other revives.
Oh my god, are
you
kidding
me? So at that point, I had to start playing it a lot more careful. But, like,
how did
you
even pull that off? Like, I think I went through, like... Oh, yeah, you were way leveled across the board.
Yeah.
I think I went through all of my revives over the course of this, and I think I went in with, like, 15. But I had 10 max revives, and I only used two of those.
Because I didn't have any revives, I just started had to, like, heal. I had to keep dropping full restores mid-battle, not let anyone die.
I was playing pretty footloose, I'd say. And I was doing a lot of, like, swapping with Delmize and Alolan Ninetales specifically, because I was trying to still power level them. So
yeah.
A lot of other Mon took some, like, pretty heavy hits to...
Yeah.
Defend them.
Acerola. Wait, Tanner. What? One second. I hear you saying. Weren't Olivia and Acerola just regular trial captains back during the game? They wouldn't surely just make them fucking Elite Four members, would they?
They're double dipping.
Yeah, they would. And they have.
Yeah, that is funny. I don't remember what their explanation was. It's like, so who's you? Like, how you can't... I mean, I guess they probably all have Charizard Glide, but like... How do you know if, like, you need to go do your trial? You're just... is it, like, Monday?
I don't know.
They're, like, professors. It's, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm on Mount Lanakila. And then, like, Tuesday, Thursday, I'm down at the abandoned shopping mart.
I once had a doctor ask me if I'm ever in North Carolina because he splits his time between North Carolina and Brooklyn. And he was going to be in North Carolina for a while and was wondering if I could see him there.
What?
And it's like, dog, you and I do not live the same lifestyles. What a weird thing. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a weird commute. I'll say this. I have a provocative nomination for my sweetie that's on Acerola's team. Maybe provocative.
Let me stop you there.
Okay.
Because let me scroll down on this Bulbapedia page real quick and get a real good look at Acerola's team, because from what I remember playing it last night, Josh, there was not a good looking team.
No.
And I'm scanning it now,
cool.
And I'm still right. It's not a good looking team.
Okay.
What could possibly be a sweetie here?
There's
Frostlass?
Yeah, who do you think it is? Not, it's...
Delmize?
No, it's just a bunch of algae.
Yeah, I don't see
what you... Drifblim, it's not going to be Drifblim. Banette's got the weird
Banette.
Zipper mouth. No. Joshy's sweetie is Palisand. Palisand.
It's why. Fine.
I am not going to vindicate Sandygast. I still hate its gaping maw, but I think Palisand's kind of got something nice about it. It's just, it just looks like a fucking delightful sandcastle. And it's got the two little eyes. Yeah, what's wrong with that? It's just a sandcastle. I think it's kind of nice. I didn't even have a Speedy last episode.
I don't even care.
And I was like, you know what? I don't even dislike it.
Why am I fighting with you? I think it's kind of cute too. I like its little arms.
And I like the little shovel.
And he waves them around.
Yeah, it's like floppy.
I don't know why I'm pissed about it.
It's not like staring into the abyss like Sandygast. Yeah, Palisand.
I think it's because of Sandygast. I'm a completionist. I have a hard time not condemning the entire line, but I think like this is the rare situation where it goes from a barf to a sweetie in one line.
Yeah, that is interesting. See, provocative, just like I said. From barf to sweetie. Palisand.
And then the last member of the Elite Four is just some stranger who you one time met in a parking lot.
Yeah, Kahili. She gave us Flynium Z. This is the only time we've ever you could only see her here if you didn't do 10 Karat Hill. And she's just another golfer who apparently was like couldn't have been the first, but she was like some sort of like iconic island champion, like island challenger. She did the trials and was like everybody loved her or something. And she's the daughter of the Hano Grand Resort.
Where are you generating
owner.
This info?
I had to just go on the Bulbapedia because I was like, what is her explanation? She tells you she left to go be like a pro golfer, but then
when
Kukui,
did she tell you, like over a coffee?
She told you that, I think. She doesn't mention the Hano, that she's like a Nepo baby, the Hano Grand Resort connection. But Kukui like phoned in a favor to get her to come back. And she was like, there's no talent on these islands. Like, I'm the main talent. She's flying type is like not a good setup for somebody to be on the Elite Four. Yeah, Alolan fucking write you.
Type.
Like Stokes, Spark Surfer all over this and Thunderbolt.
Yeah, she was the easiest one, remarkably.
I will say her two cannon got off. I guess it's got Flynium Z, which I never used. Two cannon got off with it's Flynium Z move is supersonic sky strike, and it made miss my tango, my two cannon, because it takes off like a rocket ship. And like all the smoke blasts out of it, and then it goes up in the air, and then it dive bombs, and that was cool. I'll give her that.
Yeah, that is cool. And then you've beaten the Elite Four. Congratulations! It was by far the easiest Elite Four. I don't even think I think I needed one of those two revives. I breezed through.
Yeah, you fared better.
My Pokemon were incredibly overleveled.
Yeah.
last week was so much harder. Like taking on like Duskwing. Necrozma and
that was I'm still harrowed by that experience.
And like, who else did we fight?
Everybody. I mean, literally everybody. All the trial captains.
Yeah, Ribombi. That was so much harder than this Elite Four. Like the game leveled me up that high.
Right. Yeah. That's where we got all the
Dawnwing's Necrozma.
I'll say the only thing about Howie, whose team continues to be predominantly a joke, and it's also ripping off
Paranheads. Yeah, then we have Howie.
With the Alolan Raichu and the Noivern. And then Crabominable. Oh, my God. More like Crabomination. Huh?
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Flareon, Tauros, and Primarina for me. I will say...
Yeah, mine's the same except Vaporeon and Decidueye.
I will say, though, he and Mo both had a pretty good juggling game. Where they would swap out.
No, you're just making
Mo Mullane. I think Sophocles calls him Mo. his son nephew. But they had a pretty good swapping game that was strategic. Where like I got caught unawares a couple of times with like my Mon using a move, and then he would swap out like Tauros or whatever.
Oh yeah,
And it just reminded me. It's like why don't they just program that in on like boss trainers? It's like, why don't they just swap more? Why is it relegated to only the Druggler trainer type and then like a couple of like Elite Four people?
Also, I don't remember if it was Howie or someone else, but
it makes it so
someone
much
gave one of their Pokemon two full restores, which
like
really threw a
wrench. One of them did that.
In my works.
And then the other part, I mean,
didn't know they were allowed to do that.
They, I mean, the Elite Four traditionally can, even in Gen 1. I think it's Hyper Potions. I don't remember if it's full restores, but I don't know why they don't do more abuse like that. Like this, that makes it feel more like a human, and it's like, you have the technology, obviously. Why don't you just have them swap Mon like a human would do? Or make us all play
cure the poisoning.
I guess we could try that sometime, where you can't swap
setting up
in between. But and then my main complaint was the top of the episode of just like, it definitely should have been the masked royal here, like instead of Howie. I mean, how is Kukui?
And Kukui even
did
jokes
this entire,
about it. He's like, there's one more battle. It's me. Psych, it's Howie. And it's like, oh.
Howie was like okay. Not really even a rival. He's like my fucking hype man. It's like embarrassing.
I know. And he continues to like hype you up. He's like,
get a life.
Congratulations on making it this far.
Live your own life, man.
I'm the champion of the Alola region, the very first one.
Parrothead.
Now.
Yep.
And I feel good about taking on the sort of a new moniker. I've decided that my guy is no longer called Skull Grunt.
Whoa.
And I want to claim the title Skull Lord now.
Skull Lord.
And I want to do it before, I want to do it before Guzma, or maybe Gladion, like, try to snake it out from under me, because there's a huge,
it's
not even a post-credit scene, there's a huge credits, like, sequence where you get these little cutscenes.
Yeah, it's like Ocarina of Time, where there's, like, a big party.
Yeah, or Star Wars. Let's talk about the teams that we brought in to the Elite Four. But okay. Let's do it. Let's kind of kill two birds with... Let's kill two Chat-Tots with one stone.
Nice.
Can I make that more labored? Let's kill two Chat-Tots with one Geodude.
Okay, very good. Respete.
And assess, for Parrothead's final team, are they all chill guys? And for Skull Lord's final team, are they all bad guys? Let's see if we've done a good job of fulfilling our mission.
Okay, I mean, I feel like we're going to be pretty biased.
Okay, well, I'll assess you and you assess me. And be ruthless.
Fine.
Okay, who wants to go first?
You, Skull Lord.
All right, well, I have Guzma, and he's a goalless pod, and he's level 70.
Yeah.
And he's incredible.
Yeah, very intimidating. What's that move I hate? First impression.
First impression.
I'm prepared for that this time.
Are you?
Well, I'm certainly not going
to
open up with fucking Alolan Raichu.
Yeah. Jesse, Totem Salazzle, my giantess.
Yeah. Like to get stomped by her.
James, Totem Mimikyu.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I love Mimikyu. Ooh, there's nothing sweeter than Hao firing up a Z-move. And blasting James, my Totem Mimikyu, with like the full force of like supersonic scream boom, and it just knocks the decoy head off, and he takes zero damage.
That is very satisfying, I can imagine.
Level 71. Wow. Giovanni Incineroar, level 70. He's sort of like, it's dark. He's like gotten into like Jordan B. Peterson. He like calls himself Sigma Male. Like, I feel like Lil Punny was really a sort of centering presence on the team for him, and now
he radicalized in the breakup.
He's like spent all day on message boards.
Oh,
you know, it's, I don't know, I feel like I can't really connect to the guy anymore, but he's level
that's
70.
After was Giovanni. That free or that was after, I hope, when you were having that nice bonding moment. It's like at the top of the mountain, or is, I mean, Skull Lord might be into this stuff, I don't know.
Skull Lord turned him on to it. Yeah,
Skull Lord a Sigma male.
Yeah, he's a real Sigma. Colress, Vikavolt, level 67. Gotta talk about Colress in the credits sequence.
Yeah.
But assess me on Vikavolt. So far, I haven't needed your assessments because I think Golispod, Salazzle, Mimikyu, and Incineroar are unmistakably bad guys.
In that lineup, Vikavolt is the weakest, easily. It's because it's got the kind of sweet little face, but the overall body is pretty menacing. I would say, like,
Angular,
I think
electric bug.
I think if there were a couple more questionable Mon on this team, then you would have a problem. But the fact that it's, I think, probably only Vikavolt will allow you to get a pass on the overall.
Well, the last one is Getsis, Alolan Persian, level 67.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dark type. I, again, like, it's a cat.
A cat with a big round Garfield face.
Yeah, it's got a dumb look. But you kind of have to have like a dumb who you're just like,
I'm cutting these two loose next week. These two are not bad guys.
You're going to raise more Mon?
Well, I'm going to see who's out there. I already have a Necrozma now.
Yeah, that's true. That's not something that Parrothead can run. I would just say, I mean,
Let's talk about Parrothead.
The vast majority of your team is easily bad guy.
But you see that lineup and you're like, oh, that's a bad guy team.
Yeah. And I think I maybe said that when we weren't recording in our battle last week, that I think it was already looking pretty rough.
Yeah,
but like you've got like, you know, Vikavolt and Alolan Persian are a little weak, but they're still like, I would say more bad than chill, certainly. But like Persian is
levels.
Dumb face is hard.
Parrothead, may I assess you?
You may. You may assess Jimmy Buffett, Alolan Raichu, level 70.
A plus.
Yeah.
Just about as chill a guy as you can get.
Coconut, the Passimian, is level 68. Makes all the drinks.
A minus, but I like it.
What's not chill?
Mean spirit. It's you can't have peace in your heart if you're focused on aggression and combat, Josh.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Fruitcakes, the Noivern, is level 70. How about that one?
Hard ass.
You're still not. I thought we had the fruit loving and the speaker ears for playing all the tunes, the lo-fi beats and Margaritaville. Okay.
Yeah.
Joe Merchant, Talonflame, level 70.
F.
There's
no
just.
Way.
I won't accept an F on Talonflame. I get it that it's a falcon, but it's a big tropical bird, and I'm fucking Parrothead.
It's not a tropical bird.
How is it not a tropical like bird? It. Look at its flamboyant colors.
We have those in New England, Josh.
It's like a cock of the rock.
They're all over the place. We have a hawk that lives in our backyard.
You don't have a big,
tropical,
red, like flamboyant fucking hawk or falcon in your backyard. They're brown and like scary. They sit around at parties that you host and try to swoop down on your friend's little dog.
Take it up with the
Were
D.
Were you there
if
for
you don't
that
like
one?
My grades.
When I hosted a party outside Maria Hernandez Park, and then we were on the roof, and there was a hawk that was just posted up on this tree right above the party, and my friend had his little, like, schnauzer or whatever, and it was just watching it like a hawk would and wanted to just swoop down and grab it.
I worry about that with Hercules sometimes in the backyard.
Yeah, Hercules could be in that category.
Grab him.
He's maybe slightly big enough that it would be tough. All right, Banana Wind, Alolan Ninetales, level 65.
B+.
Fine. Drifter is Delmai's level 65.
A. Unmodified A.
Boat. Okay. So where does that net out?
I think like maybe, I don't know. Let's see. A+.
I am not honoring the Talonflame F. I won't honor it.
A and A is an A. B+ and A is an A-. And then an A- and two Fs is like a D. So I think you're a D.
I don't think that's right. I think it would be at least a C, if not a B-.
An A and a C.
In any case,
sure.
It's a passing grade. In any case, it's a passing grade.
Yeah, you got a D.
I we're going to have to put it to the
Bug catchers.
Yeah,
bug catchers.
We're going to put a poll
You're
out.
You're welcome to weigh in. Judge, grade both of our teams. Letter grades, please. Let us know how we did. Joshua,
if
let's
I
go
fail,
match these
maybe
teams
I'll have to.
Real quick.
I mean, maybe I'll make a swap. I'll say that I had a whole plan that I wanted to have a Sharpedo and name it Finn because Finn's up, the Jimmy Buffett adage. But what would you say about a Sharpedo? I mean, it's dark. It's menacing.
Shark, it's cool.
It's a fucking shark. I don't want to make it.
I don't
want to train one if it's just going to get an F.
You know, like, you go, like, swim with the sharks when you go on, like,
Well, and Land Shark is literally Jimmy Buffett's beer brand.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah. Yeah, you're fine.
Well, think about it.
Shark would have been cool. That would have brought you up to, like, maybe a C. Well, we'll see what the bug catchers think. They're going to be so generous to you because they all love Noivern.
Yeah, everybody
they
likes
to kiss Noivern. Let's go, Joshua. We have to go battle these teams now and then. Or do you want to talk about the credit? Let's talk about the credits real quick.
Yeah.
Answer me on this stuff, Joshua. Guzma won't look at the camera. Everyone else is sort of celebrating and cheering and like doing stuff. Guzma's scheming.
He is. He's got something cooking. With Guzma.
We flash to the Ultra Dimension, and Colress is in league with the Ultra Recon Squad.
Yeah, that's a regular Algonquin round table, those ones chatting.
That's troubling. We know he's a bad guy. Or is he redeemed?
I don't remember.
Is this before or after? I don't remember.
I think he... he was obviously, like, very bad, but I think there was a redemption arc, and I don't really know where he landed.
All the trial captains get invited to a big party, a dance party, where they all do their Z-moves, and only one person's not invited, and it's Mina, who we see, like, sulking in the outskirts, just, like, outside of view, also doing her Z-move.
She had a bad trip. She couldn't handle it.
Why wasn't she invited? What's wrong with her?
Too high.
And then it ends with a scene of Gladion getting on a boat and just leaving.
Yeah. Where's Gladion? Something's cooking.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. I thought it was a buzzkill at the end where it, like, specifically somebody, like the first kahuna, I think, or maybe it's Kukui, is like, oh, like, let's see the Mon who have been with you on this whole journey and, like, made you the first champion. And then it fades to black. It would have been cool to have, like, a moment where we get to see our whole team hanging out with us, like Ash gets when he finally became champion in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we get to see that?
It shows you sort of a little splash screen of your team.
Well, only when you get in the Hall of Fame, but not like... I want to see all six Mon, like, palling around with me.
Oh, yeah. I think I would like that, too. It says here...
Why don't they do that? If they're alluding to
it. Oh, I don't know. I don't know why they did it. We had to hang out with all the fucking trial captains who... Like, I'm not close with, you know? Let's go battle these guys together.
Smash them up.
All right, Bug Catchers, we'll be back in just a minute to let you know who the victor of this season is. See you soon. Josh, crushed you, absolutely smashed you.
No,
devastating loss.
It was 1-on-1 at the end. Salazzle had 80% hit points left. But it came down to Ninetales versus Salazzle, and whoever was going to be faster probably would have done it. Because I have Psyshock, which would have been super effective on you, but obviously you had Flamethrower, and Salazzle outpaced me. The giant
somehow
S.
Salazzle outpaced you. Yep, it was close. It was you. There was some.
You
some
had a head start,
misses.
And then I caught up. Yeah, that play rough that missed on Passimian, which allowed it to kill your Mimikyu with Iron Head, was. A turning point. And then it came down to like 2-on-2. We had some nice exchanges. My Talonflame, I was bragging about how I reworked it because I needed like the move relearner that we finally got. So I had like Brave Bird, which it also learned at a super late level, and then Flare Blitz, which turned it around.
Yeah, really good work you did putting all those new moves on it. Killed it in one hit with Power Gem.
Well, I infected your Gallicipod with a strategic swap where then you used Leech Life, and then it got burned by Flame Body.
Yeah,
and then it
was
tainted. And you didn't get off your... It was smart, I guess. You didn't open with First Impression, because I was expecting that. So I opened with Noivern, and you opened with Vikavolt, who had a little exchange.
But Zapdra out of the sky.
I taught it Flamethrower to prepare for that kind of a situation, though. So I did a chunk of damage to it. But you had Dragon Pulse on a...
Salazzle always throws you off.
Yeah, that was smart. That was a good battle. I don't feel Mayor cheated.
Yeah, no, it was a good battle. You know, I despite the fact that at one point I had a whole Pokemon dedicated to it, I don't have a single Pokemon who knows sleep. I don't think I ever have one by the time we're at.
No, I don't usually either. I would be curious. I mean, we're pretty close in levels, so I won't dispute it, but maybe by the end of the proper end of the season, maybe we do one more. Especially if we swap any Mon, I think. And we should just do it where they're all the same level. Just to, like,
really see. Yeah, I think so,
too. But the champ.
All right, Joshua. That's it for us this week. Bug Catchers, thank you for joining us. My name has been Premier Anner, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Alolan Raichosh. This has been Experience Share. Please do rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, and do follow the show everywhere that you follow podcasts, and do follow us at expsharepod on Twitter and Instagram.
You can also check us out in Reddit. That was a weird setup for that one. I don't know where
check
I came up with that.
Check us out in Reddit.
Check out our community on Reddit, reddit.com/r/bugcatchers. And you can also support the show in another way, which is buying merch at expsharepod.com. How about those
really
setups?
Cohesive sentences.
Yeah.
Today.
It's been a long day.
It's only 3 o'clock.
But it's the freaking weekend, so...
It is the freaking weekend, Josh. Let's get out of here. You
got to
go see Tar or whatever. I don't remember what you're going to go see.
Infinity Pool. I've obviously seen Tar already. The Tar Head. I actually think Banshees of Inisherin was the best movie of the year, though. That's a good one. But Tar's up there.
I didn't see
you
it.
Don't, you haven't seen it in any movies for several years.
I haven't seen any movies. I'm a toddler. Joshua, let's go. You got to go see a movie. Bug catchers, goodbye. Alola.
Smell you later.